The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
They say the woods can keep secrets. On a cold February day in 1957, they did. A cardboard box left in the underbrush. Inside, the small bruised body of a child. No clothes, no name, no one to claim him. For over 60 years, he was just a whisper, a mystery, until the past finally spoke. Who killed America's unknown child? Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite deadly duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and you guessed it, the spooky. Today, where do you think we're heading, Tom?
Charleston, South Carolina.
No, but you had like a similar suggestion last time.
Nebraska.
No.
North Carolina.
No, we're actually going to... Fly, eagles, fly on the road to victory. Yeah, we're going to Philly today.
We won a nice Super Bowl this year.
That's right. Well, today we're
Thank you.
Okay. Today we're going to Philly. To be specific, we're going to northeast of Philadelphia. Okay?
Northeast?
Yep. We're covering the case of the boy in the box. Have you ever heard of that?
I was thinking about it, but I might be thinking A Man in the Box by Alice in Chains.
No, definitely not that one.
Total different.
No,
total
definitely different not thing. That one. Okay, well, this story is, it's like eerie. I mean, definitely no, it's eerie. It's unsettling.
It's macabre.
It's macabre. Okay, super macabre.
Macabre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Pronunciation.
That's nice, Katie.
Well, let me paint you the story because I'm pretty sure you haven't heard of him, and I know not many do know of him. He's a pretty well-known case, but knowing as you're jumping into this, you definitely haven't probably heard of it. So let's go back to February 25th of 1957, okay? We're in the Fox Chase neighborhood of Northeast Philadelphia, okay? It's at this time, it's like semi-rural. So, I mean, still kind of, you got to think about it, it's 1957.
True.
You know, PA is already pretty rural. Philly at this time is probably not as popping as it was before,
no,
as it is now.
No, but the Liberty Bell was there.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. I, for some reason, thought you meant like Taco Bell. I'm like, okay. Like
the
random.
First Taco Bell opened up in Philadelphia in 1903.
No joke. Okay, so a young man was walking through the woods near Susquehanna Road. He wasn't supposed to be there, actually, because he was actually skipping class and checking on animal traps that he had illegally set out.
We love it. We love it.
So while walking through the brush, he spotted a large cardboard box about 3 feet long. So think about 3 Subway footlongs. Okay.
Oh, no, not this again. Here we go. Yeah, my methodology of measuring is 1 Subway footlong.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the... I didn't know I sounded exactly like that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, he spots his large cardboard box, okay? And it's the kind of box that once held a baby bassinet. So it's pretty big, okay, right? Inside the box was the body of a young boy. completely naked, lying on a flannel blanket. Now, here's the first bizarre twist of this story, okay? Because this is already bizarre. The young man didn't report what he saw. He was kind of afraid that he was going to get in trouble for the traps, remember? The illegal traps,
He's skipping school.
He's skipping school. Traps. Right. It's like the perfect situation. So he waited a whole entire day before alerting the police. But get this, he wasn't even the first person to even find the body.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, apparently days earlier, there was also a college student that had also seen the box. He assumed it was probably like trash and didn't investigate any further. When he heard about the discovery later, that's when he came forward and was like, oh yeah, I actually saw that a couple of days earlier.
He's like, oh yeah, that box.
Right. But I don't think, it doesn't say that he looked inside. So in reality,
he probably just saw the box.
Yeah, he probably saw the box. He probably saw, my goodness.
The box.
He probably saw the box and then just, he was probably like, it's on the side of the road, it's trash, like, I'm not even going to bother with it. So potentially, if you think about it, this child's body has been sitting out there for days. Okay.
Yeah.
And for the sake of the story, I'm going to refer to him as Baby Boy. Okay.
Okay.
So moving into key clues, what they found at the scene. Okay. The boy was estimated to be around 4 to 6 years old. He had blue eyes, light brown hair that looked freshly cut. And when I say freshly cut, like, it was uneven. He still had clumps of hair on his body.
That's like, so odd.
Yeah, like someone were to have done it like in a rush. Like they just like trimmed him up. He weighed just about 30 pounds. Okay. Now he's like estimating between 4 to 6, 30 pounds. He was severely underweight. And he also showed signs of long-term malnourishment. His body was covered in bruises, both fresh and old, especially around the head, shoulders, and pelvis. His fingernails had been neatly trimmed, and strangely enough, his hands and feet were wrinkled, like they had been either submerged in water either right before death or after. Yeah, but
like when you're in a bathtub too long?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get pruney. The cause of death was determined to be blunt force trauma to the head because he had severe trauma to the head. Okay. The box itself became obviously a huge clue. If you know, I'm sure a lot of people do, every box kind of has like a serial number, right? Mm-hmm. So this box had a serial number and had once contained a baby bassinet from JCPenney. Now investigators tracked it to a single store that was only 15 miles away from where they found Baby Boy.
Okay.
There they actually learned that only 12 bassinets had been sold. Okay.
Well, that narrows it
right,
down
that
a
narrows
lot.
It down a lot. But none of the buyers could be 100% connected to purchasing this box because they were all paid in cash. So the police even broadcasted it, asking people, you know, if you bought one recently or tossed the box out to the trash, to, you know, contact the police, but nothing came of it. So that was kind of like a dead end, right?
Yeah.
And I also feel like if you're a killer, if I see that on the news, I'm not going to report that I bought a baby bassinet or I had a box for
a
baby bassinet.
I actually did have that box and I killed my kid and put him in it.
Right. It just like, wouldn't be that easy. Yeah. Cowardly. So they also looked at the flannel blanket that he was wrapped in. The pattern was pretty common at this time, but it was made of this like cheap cotton and the tests showed that there was like cat and dog hair on it. So ultimately it came to the conclusion that they made thousands of these blankets and that they found out that most of these blankets were coming out of Quebec, Canada. So that doesn't really help. And there's
anything,
like thousands.
It just widens it.
Right. So unfortunately, that detail just didn't lead to anything concrete either. So another dead end. So nearby where the police found Baby Boy, a blue corduroy men's cap was found.
Okay.
It was size 7 1/8 with a leather strap in the back. It had been sold at a shop in South Philly. The owner, Hannah Robbins, remembered the sale, but couldn't provide a name. So ultimately, this lead...
Dead end.
Dead end. So now you have a baby boy, right? A boy in a box that may have been cleaned up after death or before, nobody really knows. He was left beaten and battered, thrown away in a blanket, naked in a box, like trash on the side of the road, and also near this kind of like well-worn man's hat. So everything about this scene kind of feels intentional, right? It points to the fact that clearly somebody did this and either...
With 100% like malintention.
Right, exactly. So now this case quickly became national news, as you can imagine. Flyers were printed and stuff in utility bills across all of Philly. Now his post-mortem photo, the photos of him after death, they actually retouched him to make him appear a little bit more alive and obviously not as gruesome. was also broadcasted in hopes that maybe someone would be able to recognize him and just kind of see, you know, can somebody claim this boy?
Yeah. Or does anyone know whose kid this could have been or
right,
something?
Right, right, exactly. So with all that media attention, no one came forward to claim the boy. Nobody. Not a peep. Nothing.
Which is so odd because I feel like if it's a baby, I feel like that's a little...
Well, when they're kids,
would not be as around all the family, maybe. Well, but like you're talking a four to six year old.
Yeah.
4 to 6 year old. The kid definitely had to meet more than just the mom and dad, I would assume.
That, right. Like neighbors or doctors or schools, something, right? Yeah, because that's the problem, too. It's like, how is it that no one's claiming him?
And no one knows anything about
anything
him, recognizes about him. Anything.
Right.
That's weird.
Exactly. So investigators fingerprinted him. They reconstructed his face. They even dressed a mannequin to look like him and placed it in public spaces to try to spark some memories for some people around. But despite all these efforts, no one still claimed him. No school, no hospital, like we were saying, no neighbor, no relatives.
Nothing.
No mailman.
So weird.
Nothing. He was laid to rest and buried in a potter's field, which I learned that is an actual burial ground for unclaimed individuals. Did you ever know that?
No, I never actually knew this.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Well, they had a potter's field in Philadelphia. So in 1957, they laid him to rest under the name of America's Unknown Child.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know, I know. Now, that obviously leads you to think theories, right? Okay, so we're going to jump right into the theories of what happened to this baby boy.
Yeah.
Now, one of the earliest theories comes from Remington Bristow. He's an employee at the Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office who became obsessed with solving this case. He followed leads for decades, and at one point, he even hired a psychic who ended up leading him to a foster home listed 2 miles away from the crime scene.
Okay, that's wild.
Right. So Bristow noted several connections here. The same kind of JCPenney bassinet box had been delivered to this foster home before.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The blankets used in the house resembled the exact ones that the baby boy was wrapped in.
Another coincidence.
A young woman living at the home may have had a child out of wedlock.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. So Bristow believed that baby boy was probably that child.
There.
Yeah. And when he died... He believes that he probably died accidentally and the family covered it up, you know?
Yeah.
But in
wow.
Right. And again, there was no hard proof. You know, the theory was never confirmed. Still,
yeah.
Bristow, like, he really believed in this theory until his death. He ended up dying in 1993. And in a poetic twist, he purchased a burial plot that was next to baby boy.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was, you know,
really
he ended up dying.
With this case, obviously.
Yeah, and he really wanted to solve, like, who was this boy and where is his family and why was he tossed like trash into the side? So he was very invested. Now, one theory gained traction over the years is that baby boy may have been a victim of human trafficking, or at the very least was intentionally kept hidden off the grid by adults around him, right?
That would make sense since nobody knows
no
who
one
he
knows.
Was, nobody
yeah.
has any connections.
Right, yeah. And if you think about it, back in the 1950s, it was a lot easier to keep a child undocumented, especially if he was born,
oh, yeah.
you know, out of wedlock, right?
Because that was before, like, Social Security and everything, right?
Right, yes. And, well, this happened in 1957, and so Social Security started in 1935.
Oh, so a little earlier.
Yeah.
Never mind.
A little earlier off. But still, at this time, I mean, private adoptions were rarely regulated, and it wasn't unheard of for babies to, like, be sold or handed off without, like, legal paperwork, right? I feel like I always see that in certain types of style of shows or movies in the 1950s.
Yeah.
You know, nobody really kept tabs on certain things. So.
Yeah.
So some believe that baby boy may have been a part of a trafficking ring or just a secretive adoption where the people who took him in never wanted anyone to know he existed. That could most likely explain why his hair was
off the grid.
Well, yeah, and his hair was freshly cut, maybe his nails
yeah.
trimmed. You know, it's possible someone was trying to maintain appearances while keeping him hidden.
Yeah.
So, but I also feel like they did a botched job, so... It doesn't feel like
you put that much effort into
yeah,
it.
Like
yeah.
you were cutting his hair
yeah,
because you wanted to take care of him. It was more of a
I just have to do this
like
to
a
do
rush.
This.
Yeah, who knows why, but that's what they chose to do. So the bruises and signs of malnutrition add to this theory, right? Because if baby boy had been passed around or kept in an abusive environment, it's likely that he suffered for an extended period before he died. because you saw the photos. There's bruises. He's got cuts. He's just like covered in them. It's terrible.
He looks really messed up.
He does. And then double it with the wrinkled hands and feet from, you know, water. That detail led some to wonder if he had been bathed or maybe he drowned and revived multiple times or something. And then, you know, maybe it was like a torturous thing before his death. Others speculate that he may have even been kept in a tub or a confined area, again, possibly in a trafficking or a captivity situation. And so combined with leaving a child in a box, naked, groomed, and alone in the woods, feels like an attempt to erase any trace of his identity.
100%.
Right? Yeah, like they didn't even leave any clothes on him. There was no personal objects. Like
they did everything in their ability to make sure there was no way to
strip
tie
clean.
Him back.
Yeah, strip clean, nothing. Now, there's this breakthrough theory. Okay, we're going on to theory two. It's called the Martha Confession. Now, this theory matters the most because in 2002, a woman identified only as M or Martha told police that her abusive mother had bought a little boy in 1954. Her mother used to sexually abuse her, and her mom wanted to do the same to the boy. Martha said that her mom kept him hidden in the basement, and that one night after he accidentally vomited in the tub, her mother snapped and beat him to death, killing him.
Oh my gosh.
So Martha claims that she was forced to help her bathe him, cut his hair, and drove her and the boy to Philly to dump his body in the woods in a box.
That's insane. But right. I mean, it aligns with basically everything.
Exactly.
That,
right. Her story lines up shockingly well with the crime scene. You know, we're talking addresses, descriptions, testimonies.
Everything.
But again, there was no physical evidence to back it. And at the time, she also had a history of mental health issues. So it complicated things. And, you know, they couldn't say exactly this was it.
They couldn't confirm it.
Yeah. Right. But by far, this is the strongest
thing that they have right now to go off of.
Right. So Tom Augustine, a Philadelphia detective, took on this case in the 90s and never let it go either. He pushed for the exhumations and DNA testing that eventually led to baby boy's identification.
What?
Yeah. So in 1998 and again in 2019, baby boy was exhumed for DNA testing. This time, investigators teamed up with forensic genealogists who use public databases like GEDmatch to start building a family tree. After years of tracing through obituaries, census records, and distant matches, they found him.
No way.
Yep. On December 8th of 2022, now mind you, they found him in 1957.
Yeah, so we're talking over 50 years
later. So on December 8th, 2022, the boy in the box was identified as Joseph Augustus Zarelli. He was born January 13, 1953. He was just 4 years old. His parents were both local, but unmarried. He had living half-siblings, and some relatives claim that they never even knew he existed.
Well, I mean, that would explain why nobody came forward.
Right. And so now, because Joseph, now we can give baby boy a name. Now,
that's amazing.
For real. Now, Joseph was identified in 2022. Investigators revealed that he was born to an unwed couple in Philadelphia. So his birth wasn't registered until nearly a year after he was born, and his existence was kept a secret even from most of his relatives. So now this theory suggests that Joseph, a child born out of wedlock, possibly sent to live with another family member or kept completely off the record, could have been hidden out of shame. Yeah. 1957.
It was very shameful to have. It was the classic.
Yeah.
You don't have a baby until you're married.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. So when he died, whether it was by accident or abuse, I believe it was abusive because, I mean, look at
the
his body.
The bruises and everything. Yeah.
His body just horrible. And it looks like he had undergone some type of procedures before because of the cuts that he had.
Okay.
And the blunt force that he had to him too. Like, to me, I just don't see that as being an accident. That looks all intentional.
Intentional, yes.
Yeah, and he does not look good. I will try to post the photos on social. We'll definitely have them on our website just because they're a little bit gruesome and brutal. I don't think Instagram might be too friendly with that, but Instagram or TikTok, honestly. But we'll always be posting the photos that you guys can go check out too on our website. I think it'll just be a lot easier too. But I will say, trigger warning, they are kind of brutal. He's a 4-year-old kid.
Yes. Very sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. So it's believed that the adults involved probably panicked and disposed of the body to avoid a scandal. Okay. And it would kind of explain the secrecy and the total silence. Like, no one came forward. So that theory, absolutely gut-wrenching, right? Because that one just paints the picture of a, like, he was never accepted. The minute he was born,
it was always looked at as, ugh, we have to deal with this. How are we going to handle it?
Like, how are people going to look at us?
And it's almost like bad PR.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, everybody's like up the gossip train around that time, especially if you had a baby out of wedlock. Like, people probably looked at you crazy.
Oh, yeah. And so, your whole family could have easily been shunned from so many things.
Yeah, that's true. So here's the kicker. Investigators had actually collected a blood sample from a relative decades earlier, but the technology wasn't advanced enough at the time to make the connection. The answer had really just been waiting all along for tech to just catch up with them in science.
And be able to do it.
Right, because that's exactly how they ended up finding, like, his relatives and who he was and all that. So Anna Marie Zarelli, Joseph's half-sister, came forward in 2023. So this is the most recent that we know, right? So, like, we finally identified who he was in 2022. It's 2025 right now. Like, wow.
Yeah.
He was found dead in 1957. Like, we're talking years. So she came forward in 2023. She had no idea that he existed until the police reached out to her.
That's wild.
Right? He, in the interviews, she says, like, he was a person, he was a child, he had a name, and now we can finally say it. Joseph Augusta Zarelli was reburied in January of 2023, just weeks after his identity was officially announced by the Philadelphia Police Department in December of 2022.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he had originally been buried in a pauper's grave at Ivy Hill Cemetery in Philadelphia under a simple headstone that read, "Heavenly Father, bless his unknown boy." After his identification, Ivy Hill Cemetery in the city of Philadelphia organized a formal reburial ceremony where his remains were placed in the same cemetery, but now with a proper headstone bearing his full name.
Yeah.
So his headstone now reads, "Joseph Augustus Zarelli, January 13th, 1953 to February of 1957. The new headstone includes a small image of him and the inscription that says, "America's unknown child, finally home."
That's so sweet.
I know.
And it's a mix of, like, so sad because he didn't even get to experience life.
No. And who knows what kind of life. I mean, seeing by how he was found, like, I can't even imagine the type of life that he was living.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, as of now, the case still remains unsolved, but at least we know his name and And at this point, it's like his parents are dead. I don't think we'll ever find answers or no answers.
Especially if his siblings knew nothing about his existence either.
And most of his relatives didn't either. Yeah. So I can't even imagine. I do believe, though, that he was definitely abused.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Again, back to the whole, all the bruises and everything like that, to me, screams that that was an abusive household.
Yeah.
And that, there's just no other.
Yeah. And, and like, I get it. Kids are going to fall. They're going to bruise. They're going to cut up. But he does not look like your typical 4-year-old playing outside in the dirt and the grass on his
bike. Especially being so underweight and everything else,
too. Yes, malnourished.
Yes.
Like, in the photos, you can see his ribs, poor boy.
Yes.
And then to go unclaimed for so many, oh my God. Oh my God. It's just absolutely terrible.
No, this is,
it's just so sad.
It's sad in the sense of we don't really know what happened to him and that there was nobody that even really knew of him.
Right.
And I think that's the saddest part, is that for so many years, and on top of it, the one guy that got buried right near him,
the medical examiner,
so involved in the case.
It's like he was his only advocate, really.
Yeah.
The only one that was pushing forward.
Without ever getting to know his name. I'm sure now he knows his name, but at the same time, it's just very sad that you had so many people that were probably so close to the case that died without ever getting to hear.
Right.
At least his name, at least something about him.
Right, right. No, that's so true. And it also reminds me, have you ever heard of the Gabriel Hernandez case?
Nope. Sounds like another case we'll have to solve.
It will, but just, or cover. Honestly, anybody who does anything to children, one, you're a 2, suck a 3, I don't give a I'm just, dude, like, I just don't, you're a lowlife scum. Just stop. Like, well,
it's
like
children
how,
and women, in my opinion. They're the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, honestly, don't put your hands on anybody. But yeah, if, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
They're the type of, it's a human that they don't have any way
yeah,
to defend
they're
themselves.
Innocent. And animals, just like animals.
And on top of it, they're so impersonable.
Impressionable.
Impressionable. Yeah. You know where
I knew
was
where
going.
You were going.
But they're so impressionable to where they also might not have somebody to advocate for them,
right.
Or they might not know what's happening to them is even wrong.
Right, right.
And it's so sad.
No, I can't even fathom. So yeah, if you're like a child abuser or an animal abuser, rot in hell, man. I don't give a f- No, but I'm just glad that we at least know his name, and I hope that we can just, you know, I hope maybe one day. Who knows?
Yeah.
You can't put it behind us. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Guys, it's another week. We'd love to hear from you. Seriously. If you have a story that's strange, sinister, downright spooky, no matter how small you think it may be, send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. As always, you can find sources for today's episode on our website. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode.
Ooh.
Stay tuned. More mysteries just around the corner. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.